God that the Spirit will magnify Christ to others. I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit. God, that you'll save every old sinner tonight under the sound of my voice. Give Brother Hall some liberty tonight and some help from God. I need your divine help tonight, Lord. And I want you to help me to be an influence to men and women. Not just preach a message, but Lord, preach it and let the unction of God fall upon it, that I might be an influence to those that listen, whether here or by the radio, on the internet, wherever they may be listening. I want to influence people for God and see their lives change. Old things pass away. All things become new to them. Help us now in this hour. Stir the hearts of your people, and we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I'm just going to have to kind of talk to you tonight, I think, and work my way back into the message from where we left off in the morning hour. But Solomon said there in verse 16, "My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies." I want to pick back up tonight and preach again on a marriage knot that won't slip.
Amen.
That union that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said in the morning hour, that marriage has with it obligations. We are obligated to our Lord. But I'm glad that God is obligated to us. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, I thought you said God was obligated to no man." As His espoused child, His espoused bride, He is obligated to take careful attention of us and to literally take care of us. The Lord Jesus has set His heart upon us. He freely gave Himself for us, and we likewise ought to yield ourselves wholly to Him. Church, if we could ever get a hold of that great truth, that because He has freely given Himself to you and I, that we should wholly and freely yield ourselves up to Him. I cannot help but to think of all the years that I yielded my members as instruments of unrighteousness. May God help me the rest of my journey to yield my members upon this earth as instruments of righteousness, that with them I may glorify the Lord Jesus. And not to do that against my will. I tell you, it's a sad day when we have to be beat into subjection as Paul beat his flesh into subjection. May God help us to yield ourselves wholly unto God and willingly unto the Lord, that we might be used for His honor and for His glory. I tell you, there is no greater blessing in life than to be used of God. I said this morning, I say it again tonight. If I had nothing else to do, my friend, in the church house, I'd rather clean the toilet bowl in the house of God and have nothing in this world than to own a mansion out yonder in the world, amen to God, and have everything that the world has to offer me. Somebody said, "Preacher, that's not a very significant job." No, but I tell you, my friend, if we'll give a drink of cold water in the name of a disciple, the Bible says that we will by no means lose that reward that we have coming. And the psalmist said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." I'd rather stand back yonder at the door and open the door for the saints of God, my friend, than I would to dwell out yonder in the tents of the wicked. Great day in heaven. God has lifted you and I out of the very pits of ungodliness and sin and wickedness, and has elevated us, my friend, to a position of sonship. He has made us a son of the living God, And it ought to be an honor for you and I to yield ourselves wholly unto God. Amen. Willingly yield ourselves unto God that we may be used of Him in the church house or in the ministry, that we might glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text says, my beloved is mine, and I'm His. We as chaste virgins are espoused to Christ. We are obligated to Him. That's right. My beloved is mine, and I am His. If I'm His, then I'm obligated to Him. I'm obligated to obey His commandments. Amen. Somebody said, how many of them, preacher? From kiver to kiver. I'll tell you, my wife got some lady over on some Bible Wire program in a whole lot of trouble over there today. She's been sending that woman email and her back, and there they wrote and told her, said, everybody is either ever Baptist, said, you're either a Calvinist or you're an Arminian. And my mama wrote back and told them, said, I am neither a Calvinist nor an Arminian, I'm a Baptist. That woman wrote back and made some silly little remark, I don't know what it was, and what they're trying to tell her is that we as God's creatures cannot obey God's commandments. Sister Hall said the Bible said that, trying to refute Calvinism, that God hath commanded all men to repent. Therefore, He has not given us a commandment that we can't keep. Why, them morons trying to tell her that the word all don't mean all and all this mess, I'm telling you, friend, all means all. What they're trying to get around is the fact that we're little finite creatures and we cannot obey what God has told us to obey. I told Sister Hall, take the Bible and write back to that heifer and ask her to point out one commandment in the Bible that you and I cannot keep. I'm going to tell you, friend, we can obey the commandments of God. They're there, and we are obligated because we're children to obey the Word of God. When my daddy gave me something to do, it made a difference how hard or how easy it was. I was to do it. He never gave me something I couldn't do. And God is never going to give us a command to do something we can't do. I challenge you tonight. Take the Bible and show Brother Hall one verse of Scripture where God has commanded us something to do that you cannot do.
That's right.
Oh, He said, the Bible said, pray without ceasing. How can we pray without ceasing? That's simple, my friend. Be in a state of prayer at all times. See, a lot of folks just simply don't rightly divide the Bible. That verse of Scripture simply means that we ought to be in an attitude of prayer at all times. There should never be one thing between us and God that would hinder us from getting a hold of Him in a time of prayer for a loved one or a need at the house of God. That's right. We're to obey His commandments.
Amen.
We're to honor His Word.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can't honor it. Why not?
Right.
What can't you do? What is it you can't honor in this Bible?
Right. Amen.
Amen. What's hard to understand about thou shalt not?
Amen.
What's hard to understand about tithing?
Amen.
Ain't a thing too difficult to understand about. Somebody said, oh, it's Old Testament. Baloney. Yeah, it was Old Testament. But we're commanded to give a tithe plus an offering. That puts a little bit, obligates us a little bit more than it did them, does it not?
Amen.
I believe it does. Son, we are to honor the Word of God. We're to obey God's commandments. And we are to love Him with all of our heart, mind, body and soul. Somebody said, preacher, that is a tough thing to do. I'll assure you, my friend, it is not the easiest thing that you've ever done. But we can crucify this old man of ours and walk in the Spirit, my friend, and have a heart of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And we're not to commit spiritual adultery. That's right. We're not to be, like Brother George was talking about in the office, we're not to be Jeroboams and set up altars in Samaria. I'm going to tell you the problem with Israel. The whole time of their sojourn, buddy, they were influenced by a wicked, ungodly king by the name of Jeroboam. Amen. And all the sins that he caused Israel to sin, they followed in that sin. And that sin was setting up an altar in a place that was contrary to the Word of God. Now tell me something. What is so difficult to understand about thou shalt not worship God in Samaria? Set up an altar in Jerusalem. Somebody said, where is our altar in Jerusalem? Honey, it's sitting right there. I'm telling you, God has ordained an altar that we're to come to. Oh, yeah. And it's not difficult for us to pray at an old-fashioned Holy Ghost altar where we can get a hold of God for our lives. That's right. Now, we're not to commit spiritual adultery. No, sir. He has purchased us with His own blood. He owns us and is therefore obligated to meet all of our requirements in life. Now look here, if I look right up here. Hey, my beloved is mine and I'm His. He possesses me. He purchased us. He possesses us. And He is obligated, my friend, to us just like a father is obligated to his children. Oh, yeah. I am His child. He doesn't have any bastards in His family, by the way. I am His child. As the preacher said, I've got table rights. He's obligated to take care of you and I, my friend. Hey, let's quit crying the blues and mellygrubbing and moaning and groaning and bellyaching and griping and take what God's given us and what He's done for us and be thankful in our hearts, for He has said with such things we're to be content, and therefore I will never forsake you, saith the Lord. What have we got to grumble about? If God be for us, who can be against us? My God, He will supply all your needs. I tell you, I'm about to get riled up. I'll be honest with you. I'm about to get riled up, folks, when we just mully grub around all the time. But bless God, act like we're jealous of somebody else, or act like we're worried and sick about God supplying our need. Come on, man. Brother John said, come on now. Amen. I once was young. Now I'm old. Now I've yet to see the righteous forsaken. For God's seed of begging bread. I'm telling you that because we're His, He is obligated to take care of everything we have in life. Well, He gave them Jews shoes. They wore them 40 years in the wilderness. And never even had a slick spot on the sole, buddy. They still had the same mud cleats on them, bless God, they had when they started out on their journey. It's right. Amen. He gave them snow tires for their chariots. And they snow tires. Never had a blemish on one of them. They never even changed the oil in old gray mare that pulled the chariot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look here, have you ever, hey, can you imagine how it would be to try to feed 1 million people in the desert, in the wilderness? But I guarantee you they never went a day hungry. You'll look high and you'll look low. Oh, they all died in the wilderness, but not one. Not one, does it ever say, died from hunger. Not one froze to death, for they didn't have clothing to wear. Somebody said, Brother Hall, but that ain't enough. Oh, my beloved, with food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Our problem is we're not contented, my friend, with food and raiment. We live in America, son. After all, bless God, I'm an American. I'm supposed to have more than everybody else has got. Come on now. No, I'm going to tell you what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have salvation by grace, a mansion waiting over on the other side. And while we're traveling in that direction, we have got a great we've got a great holy God, my friend, that has promised to take care of us and supply our need, and He is obligated to do that. And I'm telling you, He is not negligent in His obligations to God's children. You know, every time you pick up the newspaper, and I like to read them, I like to find out whose names is in them things, in the police reports and the court proceedings. I like to see how many folks is in there I know. That's right, I've seen some of them too that I know. But it never fails, you start reading down through them things, and it'll have John Doe, so-and-so poking Plum Street, flagrant non-support. So-and-so John Doe down on Poking Plum and Hollywood Boulevard, flagrant non-support. Third-time offender. What do they call them when they a persistent offender? He got her big time. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You will never charge the Lord Jesus with being negligent in His support to a child of God. Oh, yes, sir, my friend. He will take care of His own. That's the Lord. He can spread a table in the wilderness, or He can let us live off a soda cracker. But God will, my friend, take care of His own. He's proved it to some of you all. What is wrong with some of y'all? In the last 3 months, bless your heart, He has proved it to some of y'all. He took Brother Smith out of a job and put him right back in the mines again. He sent Brother Ricky in a sawmill after he rocked a while, amen, and going to put him right back at super value. I'm telling you, put God to the test if you just come out of your hole and praise God and worship the Lord and follow God's commandments, God will supply all of your need. That's right. Now I'm going to tell you something. You'll never come out in the wrong place following Him, because you'll always be on the right road, and you can't come out in the wrong place following the right road. Are you listening to me now? Huh? He's responsible. He's a responsible Father. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. I'm His.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, some of y'all tonight, to prove me wrong, just go on home, take your kids, slap them around, beat them about half to death, put them to bed without nothing to eat, dare them to look in the refrigerator for a bite to eat. Huh? Tell them in the morning when you get up you love them, but you're not going to let you love them now. You love them dearly, but you ain't going to let them wear no clothes. You ain't going to give them no Pop-Tarts or cereal for breakfast, and they sure can't have an egg.
Right.
What father, if his son asks an egg,
right,
will he give him a scorpion?
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, my friend, a holy God,
amen,
will never let anyone point their finger in His face and say, "Thou hast neglected me as one of your children." Amen to God. I don't know why I'm on all. Well, I guess I'm leading right on up to it. He'll never be negligent in any of His responsibilities. Now, first, I want to look at how we're His. And I'll try not to be long, really. And I've got two messages here. I hope I can make them into one. I want to look at how we're His, and then at some of the obligations He has toward you and I.
Amen.
How are we His? Somebody said, well, He bought us. Well, that's right. He's purchased us. That's right. But I have lined these thoughts up tonight in C form, with seeds. We are His. I am His, because He is the one that has communicated the gospel to me.
Amen.
He communicated the gospel to me. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? That word communicate means to declare or to reveal. You remember in in Matthew 16, when the Lord asked His disciples, whom the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some of them said, well, some say that you're Elijah and Elias, and some say one of the other prophets. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? No, Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Are you hearing me this morning tonight, my friend? I'm telling you that God Almighty has communicated the gospel to you. And by the way, sinner man, sinner woman, if He does not communicate the gospel to you, you will never be saved by the grace of God. But you'll never sit on this church pew. You'll never sit on a church pew at Island Ford Baptist Church and go to hell and tell God He never communicated the gospel to you. Yeah, buddy, the gospel has been declared in this place. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, and you're a responsible creature to Him, my friend. And He shed His precious blood. And except you come to Him and repent of your sins and turn from the world, you cannot by no means be saved. Now, I just told you enough for the Holy Ghost to take and reveal to you the gospel, to communicate to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Are you listening to me? We are His. Just like He communicated the gospel to Peter. Son, He is obligated to me. Do you think that He'd communicate the gospel to me, save me, and then just let me go on about my own business and make my own way in this world? Son, I'm telling you what, friend. This world is a terrible, terrible... This world is a sinful, ungodly, terrible place, my friend. Amen to God. And this is a mean world. Some of you young folks, listen to me. There's a crowd out there that don't give a flip of a used booger for you. Some of you in here cannot wait to get out in the world. Or I can't wait to get out from under mama's table. I can't wait to get out on my own. I can't wait to have my own automobile. I'm here to tell you, my friend, mom and daddy's house is the best place that you've ever spent in all your entire life, my friend. You may think you're big and strong and macho, and you girls may think that you're lovely and adorable and you're ready to conquer and whoop the world, but I'm telling you, the world is mean and despicable and hard. Amen, little girls and boys, just like some of you. Thought they could handle it. And then some of them little girls is now on the streets of Chicago and New York City and Los Angeles, California, selling their bodies for another shot of cocaine. They're selling their bodies for another snort of crack. They've been some little old boys, just like some of you boys. That's God, wait till I get out in the world. I'm going to show them what boy eat the cabbage. They've been a whole lot like you. And I'm going to tell you, there's some of them out there right now that's a pimping their bodies for a morsel of bread. There's some of them that would sell their own flesh for a morsel of bread to put in their belly, buddy. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, ain't that bad. Jump out there, buckwheat. You think it out that ain't that bad. Honey, I'm going to tell you what you better do, you young people. You better listen tonight while the Holy Ghost communicates the gospel to you and sets Himself over you as Lord of your life, husband of your home. Amen to God! And sets Himself up as the bread winner for life for you. He is my bread winner. Praise God. Somebody said, thought the man was a breadwinner of the household. Hallelujah to God. I'm about ready to come unglued. Jesus is my breadwinner tonight. He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory of Christ Jesus. What about that? I want to say number two. I'm His. Not only because He's communicated the gospel to me, but because He has conquered my heart by grace. Amen. Now, I said He's conquered it. See, that's the difference between a saved person and a rebel. Right. Saved person, their heart and their rebellious spirit has been conquered by grace. Yes. Oh, loving grace. Yes. that conquered this old rebel heart of mine. Just an old bucking colt, my friend, that was a rebel from the word go. But I'm going to tell you, when grace sat down one time upon my old ungodly heart, God, the Lord Jesus, conquered my rebellion, conquered my sin, conquered my ungodliness, and set up reign in my heart. Hallelujah to God. Now somebody said, now look here, that easy to believe isn't proud. All you got to do is just believe. All you got to do is say a prayer. May God help us. May God help us. I'm telling you, folks have said prayers and they've baptized sinners into the church. That's right. They've said little prayers and they've baptized nothing but flagrant, wicked sinners into the church. Ain't a bit more saved than a billy goat. And they live rebels all their life. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. I wonder about folks, and I've heard some of them say, well, you know, I was a rebel for 7 or 8 years, but I've learned better now. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. God! That's not how 7 and 8 year rebels in His house. He will conquer your heart by grace, my friend, when He unfolds. Oh, now I feel God sick as a woe as black strap molasses in my soul. I'm here to tell you, my friend, God unfolds His marvelous love story of Calvary to a sinner. And that love that shed abode in our heart will conquer that heart by grace, my friend. No rebels there, buddy. Mm-mm. Somebody said, I just can't get bound to authority. Get saved. I don't have any problem with authority. I don't have any problem paying my taxes. I don't have any problem, my friend, with driver's license. I don't have any problem with the church's authority over me. If this church stood up in here tonight and voted, and there's enough percent of vote to tell me to go down the road, and you said, Brother Hall, we love you, but it's a church vote, and on the authority of the church, we feel like God's done with you here. I'd never fuss at you. I'd go in there, pack my grip out of that office, friend, and I'd be going, why, Brother Hall? Because a little thing called authority. The church has authority. Bless your heart. Amen to God. He has conquered. Somebody said, how did He do that? He pulled down all the strongholds that was in our heart. All the strongholds that was in our heart. You better believe, I don't know how grace works, but I'm telling you, my friend, it just delves down into the very heart of man. All those old strongholds. Somebody said, what kind of strongholds? We walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, when I got saved by the grace of God, He changed my walk. Oh, He changed my talk. Hallelujah to God. He changed my song. Rearranged my music. Give me a brand new heart. Set my feet on a straight path. Established my going. And put praise in my heart under my God. Amen. Now, He'll pull down them strongholds. Now, I don't know what your stronghold was, but I know what mine was. Here's a can about that tall that had Pabst's blue ribbon written all over. Now, I'm not going to glorify sin, but oh, you talking about a stronghold. I liked it. I liked it. And I liked everything that went with it. Son, I could tell you some stories that curl the hair on your head. That was my stronghold. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. He pulled her down. Puke on the puke. I never smelt anything in my life that stinks any worse than a stinking can of beer. I hate the slop. I hate the sloppy beer! Now, I hate it in Madisonville. Amen to God. Now, I'm not in favor. Somebody told me the other day, said Kroger was about to go under. Amen to God. Maybe if they'd get rid of the liquor. I hope every seller of liquor in Madisonville goes broker than a junkyard dog. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what about all them folks with them jobs? Bless God, let them get an honest job.
Amen.
Me and Brother Stevie stepped in a place coming back from Brother Massengale's one night. Come back from Brother Wells. Up and stepped in a place up there, and I had to have gas, and they had licked beer in there. And some little old boy come in and bought some kind of beer, and the boy that was getting ready to ring it up looked at the little girl and said, "Ring this up, I got a telephone call." He went over and picked up the telephone and said, "Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, tell me about it." Oh, and he just really got saved. Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't say a thing, but I thought, you sorry, poor, benighted young boy. How can you name the name of Christ and stand and sell liquor over the counter? For my Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm here to tell you, buddy, he pulled down that stronghold in my heart. I want to say, secondly, I don't have time to preach all these, but he enters in with a glorious train of grace into the heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God, son. I'm talking about a train of grace. He don't enter in with just an engine. The engine goes in and he's pulling a whole lot of loaded boxcars behind him, buddy. Are you getting the picture? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus when he moves in. He's pulling a whole lot of grace behind him. There's praying grace. There's loving grace. Oh, yes, sir, my friend. There's standing grace. Oh, yeah. There's preaching grace. There's church house grace. There's singing grace. There's all kind of grace. Oh, yeah. Tithing grace. Giving grace. I'm telling you, he enters with a glorious train of grace that would make Solomon's train look pitiful and bankrupt. I want to say, thirdly, he disposes Satan in his power.
Amen.
You know, that's right, buddy. You know, Satan had a power over your heart. That's why he's ours. My beloved is mine and I'm his.
Amen.
Hey, look here. Satan had a ring in our nose, folks.
Amen.
Was leading us down a primrose path to hell. Yeah, that's right, old Satan. Now, somebody said, did Satan possess you? No, I don't necessarily think Satan possessed me. But I'm telling you, I was a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. And I walked according to the prince of this world, and so did you. He had my heart set up on every evilly affected thing that you could think of. But I'm going to tell you something. When grace... Oh, my brother Jerome, when grace came into my heart, I'm going to tell you what, G, grabbed the devil by the seat of the pants, the nap of the neck, son, said, it's time to go. You and I don't dwell in the same house. Bless God, this place ain't big enough for you and I, and I ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah to God. You know what Satan's done? He went out there and went walking through dry places, looking around through dry places. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I give old Hall about time. I know what. I'm going to take seven of these other fellas and go back. And when he went back and knocked on the door swung open. And Jesus looked at him and said, what are you doing back here, boy? And I told you to get lost. And I ain't telling you a second time. Yes. Go on. Get out of here. Now, can you get a hold of that? He owns you. And he's obligated to take care of you. I want to say again, he dethroned sin. He took sin off the throne of your heart and set up his own throne. Hallelujah to God. And he rules and he reigns in our hearts from the very throne of grace that he set there himself. Now, I'm going to tell you the final thing on that point. He places His own Spirit in the midst of us. Son, I don't know how a great big God got in a little bitty old me, but I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Brother Jerry, I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him in my soul right now. I can feel Him. I can feel Him. I can feel Him down in my heart. Oh, yeah, down, way down in my heart. I feel the Holy Ghost down in my heart. Somebody said, "Oh, is God's, I got enough spit in my mouth." Y'all just raise up a flag if it gets too white around the edges. And set up His Spirit. Just like He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, He's just walking around in our soul. Every now and then He'll go, "Kitchy, kitchy, kitchy, koo." And it's kind of tickle my old heart, and I'll get a little of the holy giggles. Every now and then He'll just draw up real close and say, "Son, you know that I love you." And instead of getting a giggle, I get all mushy. "Oh, Lord, I love you too." Woo! Hallelujah to God, son. I'm telling you, if you can't feel Him, buddy, I'll tell you, you must not have prayed and read your Bibles all today. Son, oh, I feel Him now. Oh, yes, sir. He's a kitschy, kitschy cooing and a cuddling up and a snuggling right now. Oh, yeah. Miss Hall called in bed last night. I said, "Come over here, honey. I got a..." She said, "I'm cold." I said, "I don't care. I got to cuddle up a little while." I laid that foot down on her foot and went to rock. I said, "Oh, I feel that little old foot. Don't that little old foot feel good?" Now, I'm telling you, every now and then, Jesus just cuddles up to my soul, rubs my foot. Oh, yeah! Let me lay my head in His bosom and whisper sweet things in my heart. He's mine. Oh, yes, I know He's mine. And He's real. Oh, yes, I know He's real. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. He's obligated to me, and I'm obligated to Him. And we'll go through life, my friend, and go all the way to the throne of God. What a God. I'm going to say thirdly, why He's conforming us to His own image. The Bible said in Romans 8:29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." You've heard enough preaching on that. He said in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Look here, He owns me, I'm His. If He is conforming me to His image, He is conforming. And by the way, I have been predestinated. Somebody said, "What is it?" God said it! God has predestinated us! Do you think that He's not going to take care of me if He is doing that kind of a work on me, that He's going to make me look like Him? Whoopee dogs. He going to spend a whole lot of time and money on us, buddy. If we're going to be as immaculate as He is, or somebody said, "Will we be?" The Bible said we'll be without spot and without blemish. We're going to be like Him. Oh, yeah. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Now, I hate to bring down the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, it kind of occurred to me that all believers in all things that are essential for holiness, for grace and holiness, have conformity one to another. I see you looking kind of strange, Brother Steve. I'm going to tell you something. See, look here. We've all got different personalities, friend. But spiritually speaking, we are all being conformed to the same image.
Amen.
We have got the same faith. We got the same Father. We're all of the same household. We've all got the same covenant. We've got the same Bible. We've got the same promises. We're all being conformed to His image. As they say in Mexico, problema, hermano. Why aren't we all getting there? I'll let you figure that out, neighbor.
That's right.
If you ain't getting there, it may be because you ain't got the goods.
Right. Amen.
Now, we're going to be in different stages of maturity. I understand that. I do understand that. But He's conforming every one of us.
Amen.
I want to say He communicates with us in fellowship, just like it says in Exodus 25:22, from above the mercy seat. And fifthly, He is going to complete the work in us that He started. that we're His. My beloved is mine, and I am His. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10 says, "And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all things, of all principality and power." Now I'm telling you, my friend, my beloved is mine, and I am His. He owns us. We're His. Therefore, He is obligated to us. Now, everybody look right up here and don't leave me. Getting ready to hear. How is He obligated? Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I say He's obligated to us, that opens up a world of unbelievable preaching. That I could preach all night on the way. He is obligated to us in peace, pardon, protection, power. I mean, just on and on and on and on. I mean, I could go on comfort. Consolation. He is obligated and obligated. But I want to say, I want to try to stay with our text on this first point. It said, "My beloved is mine and I am His." What does it say? He feedeth among the lilies. What are the lilies? As a lily among the thorns. So is my love among the daughters. I want to say to you, my friend, that those lilies that He feedeth among the lilies, those lilies are a type of the believers. He feedeth, He feeds among them. Not that He is feeding Himself, neighbor. He feeds among the lilies. He is feeding us. Now let me ask you something. Where on heaven's name do the lilies all come together for Him to feed among the lilies? He feeds us in the midst of the church. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, come and dine. Right in the house of God, friend. Now I'm going to tell you, you come to church with a colic. I've got a tummy ache today. I'm not going to eat. Got diarrhea today, preacher. Just don't think I can. I don't like that menu. I'll slide that on back. Come on now, John would say. He feeds us among the lilies. In the midst of the church, He feeds us. According to Psalm 23:5, in the presence of our enemies, He prepares a table before us in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah, hot dog. I could skip all over the church house on that. Somebody said, "Why, you fool, what's wrong with you, honey? I've come in here before about like I am tonight. Been having myself, Brother Mark, one whale of a time in God. I mean, I'm happy as a lark, feel like I got God all down in my soul, trying my best to preach the Word of God with unction. And some of y'all sitting there with a frown on your face, look like I'm looking at a cave with a new gate." He'll prepare the table while the bear lurks on the perimeter. While the coyotes howl, just longing to creep in and sneak in and devour one of those little lambs. Like a wild tiger waiting to pounce upon us. But Jesus owns us in such glory and grace and power that He just spreads the table and prepares it in the presence of all those enemies and lets us sit down in the midst of all of them and dine. Somebody said, "Aren't you worried, preacher?" Why? He's done made us to lie down in green pastures before He ever prepared the table. That's a type of the rest we lay down in green pastures. I'm going to tell you, He's obligated. And by the way, He's obligated to feed you. Somebody said, "Boy, I sure ain't been getting much from God lately. Ain't His fault." Amen. He's obligated. When He feeds Brother Joel, he just like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was down in Babylon. Right. He wants them to be flesh-faced.
That's right.
He wants their countenance to be fleshless. In other words, what I'm saying, He don't have any little bony weasel heads. Spiritually speaking, Douglas. Douglas would make a good spiritual specimen of being nourished by the hand of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you ain't getting fed, neighbor, He feeds in the midst of the church. He feeds in the presence of his enemies. He feeds by a faithful pastor. What did they say to Peter? Peter, feed the lamb! Peter, feed my sheep! Peter, feed my sheep! Three times he told Peter to feed them. No wonder Peter in 1 Peter chapter number 5, he said, feed the flock of God, which is them. Feed them, boys. Feed them. Give them something. From them. You cannot deny. I'll stand in here week after week in the Song of Solomon, verse after verse, and fed you. Now, I'm going to tell you, much of the preaching I bid you, my God, do you think I could get everything I preached on my own? Oh, no, I've been getting it. I've been collecting it from books. Somebody said, I don't think. Well, to read after other men's baloney on you, don't give a flip what you think. I'm telling you, my friend, I'll go back to some of those old Puritan writers and dig out all of the meat that I can to feed you with. Everything I've said has not been mine. A lot of it has. All of it's not. But he feeds us. He feeds us with milk. He feeds us with meat. Feeds us with manna. I want to say, secondly, he's not only obligated to feed you. I've only got 3 points. He is obligated, you're going to like this, he's obligated to flog you. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, what do you mean? He's not like some of you daddies. Somebody said, do you have scripture for that? Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord letteth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I want to say that he always is chastening, comes in 3 ways. Preventive chastening. That is called simple correction. He corrects us with simple chastisement to prevent us from going astray. That's right. He sees us leaning a little bit towards some sin that we ought not. He'll correct us very gently to prevent you from going astray. Amen to God. He will also use restorative chastening. That is, when you've gone astray like Naomi went astray. God will chasten us like He did Naomi to restore us to a place of fellowship where we were before. Restorative chastening. I want to say that He will chasten us with an educational type of chastening. Somebody said, who in the Bible? I'm going to tell you old Jonah, buddy. Didn't Jonah get an education? God said, go on down to Nineveh, Jonah, and preach. He said, I ain't a-going. Now look here, friend. You ain't refuse instruction. That's what Jonah did. You refuse instruction, and I'm going to tell you what, friend, God knows how to educate you, buddy. You don't think Jonah got an education in the belly of that whale? When the seaweeds wrapped around his neck in the belly of that whale, now he said, out of the belly of hell, I cried. Well, buddy, he learned a valuable lesson. Hey, that's right, that's right. He tried to run from God. You can't run from God if you're His child. Some of you young folks in here claim to be saved, and you just trying to hit and miss and hit and hurry and get around the edges. I'm going to tell you something, you can't run from God. If you're truly God's, I'm telling you, if you're truly God, God will put a set of hobbles on you. You can't run from God. I'm going to tell you, somebody said, I'll get far enough away. Jonah got on a ship, headed in the wrong direction, but God knew where Jonah was at. And I'm going to tell you something, some of you in here don't straighten up. Said, oh, you're glad. I'm going to tell you, hey. Paddle time, buddy, paddle time. I'm going to tell you, the hind end's pretty tender when God lays His paddle on it. You ain't been switched till you've been switched from God. I'm going to tell you, everything that God gives us is for our good and His glory. And some of them are bitter pills to swallow. Now, I hope none of us has to go through what Brother Billy's going through up there. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, Billy's saved by the grace of God. It is for His good and God's glory. Somebody said, hell and fire, don't know I'm not God. Miss Hall and I were talking today about Kelly's baby, and I'm telling you, and I'm going to keep preaching this. I'm going to keep preaching this till it hits home, and folks in this church understand it, that baby is there for a particular purpose and reason. And it's there for their good and God's glory. God not doing it. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand electricity. I don't even understand an automobile engine. I don't even understand my wife. I love her. Huh? But what an education. I'm going to tell you what he learned. He learned that salvation was of the Lord.
Amen.
What an education. And folks, God is obligated to do that. And because he is obligated to do that, he will do it. If you be without it, then you're a bastard and not a son.
Amen.
That's the Bible. He is obligated. He is not going to let you run around as a rebel.
Amen.
I want to say closing, he furnishes us. And I could preach for a month right there. Everything that God furnishes us with. But I'll just mention two or three things and we'll close. He furnishes us with armor for the battle.
Amen.
There's no reason not to stay in the battle. Come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. As a boy down in South Carolina said, that you might be able to withstand against the willies of the devil. What he said. Well, God preached that I'm going to preach on the willies of the devil. Well, he'll give you the willies. But this is wiles. Somebody said, has God given us that whole armor? Well, sure he has. He's given us truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. He's given us righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. He gives us his own righteousness. He has given us peace. He's given us faith. He's given us salvation, a helmet of salvation. God has furnished us with an armor for the battle. I want to say, secondly, God has furnished us with affection that we might love one another.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, Mr. and Mrs. Sourpuss. No reason for it whatsoever.
Amen.
There is no reason for a saved man or a saved woman to fall out with somebody. And every time we have a meeting, it's always, I've got the bitterness for this person or that person. I know that something that some of you confessed about doing stuff is legitimate. But always having something against this person or against that person.
Yes,
against I'm going to tell you something. It ought not to be. Somebody said, preacher, do you have scripture for that? Oh, yeah, Romans 5:8, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He has shed that love abroad in our heart. And he said in chapter 13 and verse 10 of the same book, love worketh no ill to its neighbor.
Amen.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Amen.
Now, I'm here to tell you, buddy, he has furnished us with enough love, the very love of God, for the love of God.
Amen.
Not your mammy's love. Not my pap's love. The love of God.
Amen.
The very same love.
Amen.
That God loved with, loved the world with, loved His Son with, loved the sinner with, that same love.
Amen.
If we're saved, has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. Huh? I'll close with this. He furnishes us with an abode.
Amen.
Somebody said an abode. Yeah, man. It's not a real specimen of health, but it's an abode.
Amen.
For we know of if the house, I've got an earthly abode. You looking at it, neighbor? Somebody said, I thought your abode was over at 1413 Allen Ford Road. Oh, no, 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 no. You all fouled up on this thing.
Amen.
That's where this body dwells. But I live in this house.
Amen.
This is my abode. Right here. You're looking at it, buddy. All 155.2 pounds of it.
That's right. We have an earthly house of this tabernacle.
Amen.
He's furnished me with that. That's why I said this morning, He's furnished it. Hey, it belongs to Him, folks.
Amen.
I don't like to be sick. I don't like to shiver and shake. But I'll tell you what, if I shimmer and shake, I'll shake all the way into glory.
Amen.
Huh? Are you hearing me? He has given us, He has furnished us with this house. Therefore, glorify God in your members which are upon the earth.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, but I don't like mine. I don't look like Marilyn Monroe and I don't look like Burt Reynolds. I'm glad you don't look like Marilyn Monroe. And I never did like Burt Reynolds anyway. Hey, look here. Folks, God took time. If you were reading the Psalms, He said, you fashioned me. You formed me. I forget how it goes, but it's something now. Do something that I may give Thee praise. He made our bodies just what they are.
Amen.
And the Lord is for the body, and the body for the Lord.
Amen.
Me and Him's roommates.
Amen.
Now don't leave me like this. He's given me an earthly abode.
Amen.
But oh, He's also given me an eternal abode.
Amen.
For I know if the house of this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens for you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about that mansion, buddy.
Right. Yeah.
For that house, we groan to be clothed with that house. Oh, not that we want to be naked and unclothed, but we want to be clothed with that house from heaven.
Amen.
I've got another abode waiting on me, eternal. Somebody said, what will it look like? I don't know. Perchance it may be wheat or some other grain. I don't know what it will be like. There's one body of the fishes and one body of the beasts and one body of men. I don't know what kind of a body it will be. But oh, I know it's going to be like Him. Hallelujah. Yes!
Amen.
An eternal abode. I'm talking about that glorified state.
Amen.
Brother Mark was sitting in the office. He said, Brother Hall, he said, I've been reading. He said, you know, in a thousand-year reign, he said, we'll be in these glorified bodies in glory. I said, yeah. He said, there'll be people in their temporal bodies. I said, yeah. And there'll be people born and people dying in the millennium. I believe the gospel will be preached to them in the millennium.
Amen.
And you know who's going to be doing a little of it? Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
That's why, you know what I've heard men say? I've heard some men be so stupid say, well, God ain't calling no preacher today because there ain't going to be much more preaching done. We're going to preach 1,000 years, boys.
Amen.
You've got at least 1,000-year ministry ahead of you.
Amen.
Amen. And I guarantee you with a wrought iron, you look out at them egg suckers and say, you need to get right with God now. They're going to do something, boys.
Amen. That's right.
Don't do something. Huh? Look here. But we've got an earthly house. We've got an eternal house. And I'll close with this. We've got an elegant house. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
You see, this old earthly house is going to dissolve.
Amen.
And I'm going to have to move out of it some of these days. But when I move out of this, I'm going to an eternal house.
Amen.
But I'm going to take this eternal house and I'm going to move house and all into a mansion.
Amen.
And for that very reason, with food and raiment,
amen,
I can be content.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My beloved is mine and I'm His. Let me ask you something tonight in closing. Are you His?
Amen.
Is he really yours and are you his? He's the most wonderful person in all the world.
Yes, sir.
You young folks in here, Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. Why don't you come to Him tonight if He's spoken to your heart, and you too can stand like the preacher and say, my beloved is mine, and I'm His.
Amen.
And because I'm His, He is obligated. Hey, I want to give you this. What did Paul say in the book of Romans? I want to read this. It's come to my mind, and I want to say it for in closing. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son. Now listen, now I'm talking about God being obligated to take care of you in this life. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now let me ask you something. What is the greatest gift there? Jesus, His Son, or all things? Oh, Jesus, the Son. Has to be much greater. Here's the point I'm making. If He is a gift giver, and He's given you the greatest gift, makes you think He won't give you the lesser gifts. If He's given you the greatest gift, surely He'll give us the lesser gifts. I believe that He will. Let's stand together. My beloved is mine, and I am His. He feedeth among the lilies. If the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight in any way, I want to invite you to come to Him if He has spoken. You can't come to Him otherwise. If He's spoken to your heart, come to Him tonight. Would you do that? You'll never regret it. Young person, old person alike, you'll never regret coming to Christ. He loves you. And He's obligated to take care of you. He will supply all of your need. Our Father, I'm thankful this night for the privilege to preach. Lord, the wonderful liberty that You gave in the house of God this night and the help. Thank You for Your people that did seem to enjoy the preaching, get something from it. I pray You'll bless them. Help them to see this great truth, Lord, that You're a gracious and a kind and a loving Father that hath bestowed upon us the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the person of the Lord Jesus. And because You've given Him, You shall also by Him freely give us all things. Save some sinner tonight too, Lord. Save someone that's lost. I pray You'll open their heart, bring conviction, deep conviction, and save them by the good grace of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is the hymn number, Brother George? 304. God's spoken to you. Why don't you come on tonight? Would you do that?
As we sing tonight. Get right out of your pew and come on. As we sing, Brother George, you can lead us.
Let Him have His way tonight in your heart. Why don't you come to Him tonight, young person? How about it, Mama? How about it, Daddy? So how about it tonight? Do you really know that He is yours? The greatest treasure. The greatest treasure that a man could have is the Lord Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'll assure you, my friend, there's no greater treasure in the world. I wouldn't trade the treasure that I have in Jesus for all the gold that's laying in that big building on Fort Knox Military Reservation tonight. You could take that gold and all the gold in all the other countries and pile it in a heap. And in His presence, it's counted as dung. No value at all. How can a man value gold? Compare gold or silver or stones that are temporal things to that which is eternal. How can you compare anything to Jesus? For He is a giver of life. Life is the most precious commodity we have. Most precious commodity that we have is life. And He's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. What about tonight? You don't even need no more sound. All you need to do is just turn loose of that pew and step out. That's all. I'll meet you down here and pray with you. I feel in my heart somebody ought to move for God tonight. My soul longs to see some sinner get saved. I appreciate you being here tonight.